slide out.
Hey, good morning, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge. You know me as the branch president of Columbus, Ohio. But this morning, I'm speaking to you not as a branch president, but just as an informed postal employee looking out for the welfare and benefit of other postal employees. So I'd like to announce the platform that I'm speaking from before I speak. And now that we understand, I am an employee speaking out against the injustice of other employees. Let's talk about something. Let's go back and visit that situation I spoke to you about last week with maintenance and the Citygate processing plant. Again, I wag both fingers at you this week because you still have not addressed or corrected what I consider to be an injustice towards other employees. And again, I am entitled to my own opinion. It gets worse, though. Last week, I let folks know that maintenance was sending people home because they couldn't carry a vacuum pack on their back. I still make that assessment today, but now it gets worse. It has been brought to my attention because, remember, I don't work in maintenance. It has brought to my attention that you have other employees, other maintenance personnel there who do not carry that vacuum on their back for whatever reason, but yet they're allowed to come to work every day. So it makes one think, well, why would the standards be different? And then I remembered, because we work in Citygate, everything's different. Well, again, we advised the employees on you know, through my podcast, on that I think it's wrong and some of the actions they might want to take. And one of them would be, if it's a traumatic injury, you follow CA1. If it's an illness or occupational disease, you follow CA2. Very, not simple, but easy to follow process. It has been brought back to my attention that one of the employees attempted to file a CA form with the supervisor, and the supervisor would not accept it. Wow, that's real different. But again, we still have to get that form filed, so I suggest that you take it to the manager. Now, listen, folks, I mean, it's already one thing that you, I think that you really discriminate, and again, this is my opinion, which I am entitled to, a certain group of employees in maintenance right now, then you compound that with impeding their right to file a federal form. Again, the language that I'm choosing to use is selected specifically for informational purposes. So that employee who was impeded, there's a different course of action. If you contact me, I'll inform you on also. But, you know, people, as we look around this building here, I report to you on situations that come to my attention. And they come to my attention because employees in Columbus, Ohio, understand, if you bring it to me and I can address it or can bring about a resolve to it, I'm going to aggressively pursue that. Now, I don't really want to sound real sarcastic, but just a little bit, I guess I got to say thank you to my local president. Because if it had not been for your stubborn decisions, I wouldn't even have time to focus on this because I'd be fully engaged and immersed in mail handler business. So I guess in a strange way, you not allowing me to do what I've been elected to do allows me the opportunity to help other employees. So in a strange, sick, twisted kind of way, hey, thank you, Bip. But let's get back to our issues in Columbus. The reason I like to make these issues public is because a lot of times this goes on in places where you work or where we work, and we have no knowledge of it. And if you understand that this is the mindset of the agency for which you work, maybe you'll understand why some of the mistreatment or non-compliance to our contracts we have to endure every day. You'll understand why this takes place. And you'll understand it takes place because of lack of caring for employees as anything other than commodities by the agency. And that kind of thinking will not survive or sustain a successful business. But the post office has yet to learn that. Another issue I want to address this morning is the issue of who's in charge. Very simple question, but if you ask that question to the agency, you may get a host or plethora of different responses. Who's in charge? Why do I bring that topic up? Well, it was brought to my attention. We have a mail handler at work who his supervisor told him, you can't work overtime. Well, because again, we work at CityGate and everybody's in charge of everybody, another supervisor let him stay and work overtime. Now, when it's beneficial for the agency, the rule is you follow your last set of instructions. When the agency wants to play the everybody's in charge, but I'm more in charge than somebody else, this is what happens. Mail handler told by a supervisor not to work overtime. Another supervisor allowed the mail handler to stay and work overtime. Well, the initial supervisor who told him not to work happened to see the mail handler leave the building. And that's when that real professional conduct kicked in. He was explained in other than a professional tone that you can't stay overtime, you won't stay overtime, and if you stay overtime again, maybe we might have to address your employment opportunities. Well, now he's in the middle of a quandary. What do I do? If I've just been instructed, I can't stay. Okay, I can't stay. If another supervisor, because you know our management patterns change like the wind in Columbus, another manager asks him to stay and he says no. Now, does he get disciplined for failure to follow instructions? You see, and this is a common problem, I don't know about anywhere else, but in Columbus. 204Bs, whether they're on higher level or not, again, sometimes forget when I'm on higher level and when I'm not on higher level, and they are still directing and giving orders, for lack of a better word, to employees. So who do you listen to? I don't think that it's asking too much to have a clearly defined manager matrix so that employees know who they are responsible to as their primary supervisor. And maybe, and I'm just saying maybe, if MDOs would pass the word to their subordinates that, hey, if they're not in your area, why don't you check with their immediate supervisor before you make a decision on if you're going to move them from point A to point B or if you're going to extend or terminate their work hours. I don't think that'd be too much to ask. But it's too much like efficient management, so it's probably not going to happen where we work. But to that employee, I really don't know what to say to you as far as if I was giving you guidance, because I want to tell you we've always been instructed to follow our last set of instructions. But if your last set of instructions is contrary to what your immediate supervisor said to you, I don't know. All I can say to you is when it happens, and it's going to happen, trust me, that your supervisor told you not to stay overtime and someone else is going to instruct you, when I say someone else, another 204B, either on higher level or not, or another supervisor, or another manager. If I was you, I would get clarification from the MDO that's on duty at that time. That's the best I can say to you. And I would say to the agency in Columbus, if you allowed supervisors, first of all, if you even had supervisors in all your functional work areas or sections, a lot of this would be eliminated. But since we have the one supervisor, half the work floor concept going on, how about making sure that we don't confuse employees with that kind of nonsense as far as constantly be getting a different set of instructions, whether to stay, whether to go. I don't think that's asking too much as an agency, that you tighten up on your managers so that all managers or supervisors are at least close to operating on the same sheet of music. Hey, listen, that's my Monday morning podcast. Again, this is Ken Hodge. I'm an employee at Columbus Citygate Processing Plant, and every day I just see some things going on in that building that don't represent true professionalism, don't represent contract compliance, and as much as I possibly can, I'm going to inform you and keep you informed, and hopefully by informing you, you will keep your eyes wide open and help inform other employees as well. Again, we can pass the information along so that, again, if we are educated as to what takes place in our work environment, it will keep us in a position to better negotiate or navigate through these situations. Hey, everybody, let's have a wonderful day. It's windy and cloudy outside, but hey, we work in Columbus where it's always sunshine. Hey, have a great day. And pardon my cynical approach today, but it is what it was. Yeah, this morning I'm like that Baptist minister. I've always got something else after the closing. That something else is, hey, clerks, APWU union members in Columbus, Ohio area, hey, one last plug for my man Rick Farrell. Hey, get out and vote for him. He's running for recording secretary. He and I work together on a few things. I find him very pleasant and enjoyable to work with. But again, I'm not a clerk. He's a friend of mine. So I'm giving him a plug. Vote Rick Farrell, recording secretary. American Postal Workers Union, APWU clerks. Hey, go get them, Rick.